Always good to hear from a future choir member there. Well done, choir. Appreciate that. Bill and Steph, good job. You may be wondering, you see my wife and I wandering around with the camera taking pictures. It's not because we're leaving and we want keepsakes. We've been encouraged by the home office to kind of update and enhance our webpage. Their research and understanding our experiences that many people come in contact, at least in this day and age, with the church usually through local web pages, sometimes even more so than the national one. So they want to make sure that there are no obstacles there, that people can get a good feel for what is happening at a local church service in a local church area by accessing some of the information and so on online. So you may be seeing us doing some things to enhance that. Mikey McNair is doing a great job, I think, of managing that, keeping the calendar updated and so on. And we hope to be enhancing the web page itself in the coming weeks. So be looking for that. We had a really good, I thought a good first Kingdom of God workshop this morning. It's for about an hour and a half here. We had, looks like about 60 in attendance or so. And some good comments, I think, afterwards. We started to gain some momentum as we started running out of time. But I hope in future opportunities there will be even more so. We've gotten a lot of good feedback already from those who were here, and we'll be adding things like breakout groups and maybe posting some of the questions online in advance to give you some time to mull over how you might respond or contribute. So if you have any other feedback, if you're here this morning and that you'd like to share with me, I'll be happy to take that into consideration as we plan the next one. I'm thinking we do these maybe once a quarter, so February, sometime maybe in May, beginning of May, we can do the next one. It'll be the next in that series. We had some very emotional comments this morning talking about sharing the gospel with the poor. Why the poor are so receptive to it, who the poor actually are. We had a good discussion on that. The next one in that series in Luke 4, verse 18 and 19 is reaching out to the brokenhearted, or healing the brokenhearted. What does that actually mean? And I think that'll probably get even more emotional at that one. We'll see. But it was a good start for this, and I think as we tweak these going forward, it'll be something good that we can take out to the other church areas as well. One of the things I've been talking about a lot in the last few months here with this group and in other groups as well, but especially here because of the focus that we're taking with these Kingdom of God workshops, is the perspective that the world has on Christianity in this age. Largely, the world's perspective is based upon their own personal perceptions and perceptions that are perpetuated within the institution of men, specifically the media. And I learned something in my years in marketing, that perceptions may not be accurate. Not all perceptions are necessarily accurate, but all perceptions are valid and compelling to the perceiver. So you can't necessarily discount them just because something that is said or an accusation that is made is not true. If it's founded on a legitimately held perception, then that perception has to be dealt with. Now, whether those perceptions are held individually or collectively, perceptions have had a very strong influence on the world. Political opinions, religious ideologies, within the world of business, buyer behavior, people's associations, their loyalties, even self-worth to a great degree, are built on people's perceptions. Now, and because they're so powerful, those perceptions have affected many major events in our history, geopolitical, scientific studies, understanding, academic learning, research, and so on, economic and social changes all throughout human history. So perceptions are extremely powerful. As we've been seeing in the news, and also as we've been talking about in the past 2 to 3 months, a relatively new and growing public perception is that religion, especially deeply held and zealously practiced religion, is a very bad thing. We're hearing this mostly secular media, but it's something that's gaining a momentum within the institutions of men, government, academia, and in the business world as well. The words that are largely pushed by media and some of the controllers of all this compel this perception in people's minds. Whether they believe it or not, they hear it, so they believe it to be commonly held. The certain words are using that those who are religiously zealous are extremists versus being tolerant, or that they're radical versus being rational. You'll hear that a lot, especially in political circles. Liberals are saying more and more today that they don't like being called liberals. They don't like that terminology. They'd rather be called rational. Well, the terminology is there that if we're rational, by implication, you're not. So if you oppose our views, you're irrational. That's the kind of direction they're trying to lead the world in. Religion, or deeply held religious beliefs, are even considered in this society fanatical versus being sensible or reasonable. And leading the way, it seems recently, at least in terms of the change, is a growing hatred specifically of Christianity. Christianity, at least as the world sees Christianity. Now, some of this is undeserved, but it is to be expected. We spoke about this when we discussed the light and the salt and the effect it would have on the world. Romans 8, 7, Jeremiah 17, 9 tell us about the carnal mind and the deceptive, wicked heart. This physical mind is hostile toward God. It's in that state and position immediately. Hatred for God is the flesh's precondition, something we all had to overcome that God led us through. Well, most of the world is in that position at present. Isaiah 5 and verse 20 talks about how our human nature will indulge our evils to maintain control of our lives, convincing us that though our ways are evil and wicked, they are actually good. And we've been prophesied of a time in the future when that which is good will be spoken of as evil, and that which is evil will be spoken of as good. We're in that time right now, brethren. And we also, again, talking about the light and salt, John 3, verse 19 and 20. Most don't want their evil ways exposed by the light that is true Christianity. And it's not just about what we speak, it's the way we live. Most don't want their lives compared to somebody who is living the way God describes. Now, again, some of this hatred is built on valid perceptions of what passes for Christianity in this world. And if we do a thorough understanding from Scripture as to who is a Christian, who is a son of God, who is actually following Christ in his lead, if we do an analysis of that, we recognize that most who profess Christianity don't have a clear concept of what that actually means. Much of their beliefs are based on perceptions. But now, the perceptions of the world that are